Welcome into another episode of We're Talking. Today we're talking softball, Raging Cajun softball, with Bobby Nuvo. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Nova. It's Nova.
Nova. I meant to ask you that before we got started, so I apologize.
That's all good, man. I've been called many different things.
I've been called many different things too. Some of them not so flattering. So. Raging Cajun softball off to a nice start, but I guess the question is the competition wasn't the worst competition, but it wasn't the best competition like we're going to see next week and what we'll talk about later on in the show. But what was your thought on the weekend overall? Anything that surprised you at all with the Cajuns or the other teams?
Well, not really surprising, but, you know, a kid like Tyler Oob, I'd been watching him pitch in scrimmages, and I knew that she was capable of you know, coming in and getting people out. And it may have been surprising to some of the fans. You know, she's a redshirt freshman. She was injured in the first scrimmage of the fall, so she missed most of the fall. And a kid that really, really has improved since last year, her redshirt year. And I think she's a kid that's going to be able to help the team, whether it be, as you saw, you know, you saw this weekend, she came in at the back end and was able to, you know, I think she pitched to six hitters and struck out five in the two appearances that she made. And then some of the young kids, you know, you never know how these true freshmen are going to come in and transition to the college game. And this was their first exposure to the college game, except in the scrimmages. And man, they performed extremely well, and looking forward to seeing what some of those kids are going to be able to bring to the table, you know, for the rest of the season. Kid like Victoria Valdez and Cecilia Vasquez, both those kids had really good weekends. And, you know, Coach Glasgow played, I think it was 15 or 16 position players over the weekend. And, you know, trying to get an idea of who can get the job done. And, you know, the competition is going to step up as we go to Clearwater later this week. And so really looking forward to that.
Victoria Valdez, a true freshman, but came on strong. I watched all the games. Well, I was there for the Sunday's game, so I guess I paid attention more because I was there. Because when I'm at home, I got three TVs going on. They had Sunbelt Conference basketball going on and everything else going on. So I guess the question: did she play in the first two games?
She started every game. She started a game at first. She started a game at third, and she started two games at catcher. And you know, that's going to be a big help this year. When Sophie was really beat up at the end of the season last year, having to catch as many innings as she did, and so she's going to be able to give. And she's, you know, she's a really, really good catcher. And, you know, Sophie had a couple of starts at third base, and I know she's going to get some opportunities there. And Vic was originally committed to Texas Tech. And then the Texas Tech coach, I think they made a coaching change, and she decommitted and then committed to the Cajuns. And boy, what a blessing that's been for Coach Glasgow and the Cajun softball team, because she's a kid that's extremely confident. She doesn't think she's ever going to fail. She brings a lot of energy to the team, and she's a great teammate. Her teammates love her. And Vic, just a great addition to the roster.
Do you think, because the games I watched when Sophie was playing third, and especially Sunday, I think she got on base her first three times. A walk and then
Sophie
two
did.
Hits. Yeah.
I think you're correct. Yeah, she had a pretty good weekend. You know, she hit 500. She was 5 for 10 on the weekend, and she had a home run in that Friday night game. So, yeah, Sophie's going to be dependent on heavily on the offensive side to, you know, be a run producer for the team this year and drive in some runs. and get on base.
Do you think her not catching every night is going, or every game is going to add to her batting skills?
I think it's going to help her, you know, offensively, especially toward the end of the year. You know, last season at the end of the year, she kind of dropped off on the offensive side. And I know that had a lot to do with the number of innings that she had to catch. And so, you know, you may see Sophie at third base behind the plate. Maybe some games she'll DP, you know, would give her a half a game off. And with the depth on this roster, Coach Glasgow is going to have the luxury of being able to do a lot of mixing and matching and using his roster in a lot of different ways.
It was her first at bat that she hit the home run, correct? I think you said that just.
I think it was. I know it was on Friday night. I don't recall exactly if it was the first at bat, but I think you're right.
It was the first at bat
because it was the first inning, and I think we scored 8 runs in the first inning Friday night. Alexa Langeliers had a home run, and Sophie had a home run in that big first inning. And, you know, not too often the cleanup hitter comes to bat in the first inning with no outs and a 3-run lead.
So, yeah.
We got to see that on Friday night.
How was just your thoughts on the Lafayette Leopards? Is that a team that's going to compete in their conference for a title or not really?
Well, I think they're going to maybe be in the bottom half. You know, they were last year they won 10 games and then they got a new coach this year. It's their first year. In fact, and boy, her name's escaping me right now, but she was the catcher for Western Kentucky in 2013, when the Cajuns lost. That was the last Sun Belt Conference series that the Cajuns lost at Lampson Park. And then the following weekend, they went to South Alabama, lost 2 out of 3 there. And that's the last time the Cajuns lost a conference series. But the coach for Lafayette College was the catcher on that 2013 team for Western Kentucky.
I knew she was. I'd read, I believe, in Kevin Foote's article that she was a Western Kentucky grad. So I'm trying to pull it up here quick. Devin Caravan Dew.
Caravan Dew.
Oh, Caravan Dew.
Yeah, her last name is Dew. Caravan Dew is exactly. That's exactly who she is. And I think she's going to do a really good job there, and you know, going to build that program, but you know, she's kind of starting from the ground up, and it's going to maybe be a difficult year for them. But you could tell, you know, last year they made 93 errors in 47 games, and that's the one thing I saw this weekend. They played much better defense, and you know, and that's probably one of the things that they focused on. You know, you make 93 errors in 47 games, you're not going to win many of them. You know, I think they're fielding percentage was like 932 and they hit 220 as a team last year. So that's a couple of areas that they're going to have to improve in to be able to, you know, compete for a conference championship.
Some of the other people, good to see Jordan Campbell back and coming back strong. What were your thoughts on her weekend as far as, you know,
I was very pleased with her performance because, you know, she missed most of the fall. I think she got in maybe the last couple of weeks, she was able to get some at-bats in and then came back in January and kind of struggled through some of those early scrimmages. And so I wasn't really sure what we were going to get from Jordan early in the season, but she had a great weekend. She hit, you know, she hit 600, 10 at-bats. And she had 6 hits, and she drove in 7 runs. And I think she had I think she might have had her 3-run homer at some point during the weekend. So yeah, right. Jordan, very pleased in what we saw from Jordan this weekend.
Yeah, she led the team in RBIs with 7, second in total bases with 10. So it didn't seem like every time we turned around, she was hitting a double, or she even have a triple, I believe, on Sunday as well. I believe it was Sunday's game.
She was on base quite a lot, and that's one of the good things about those four games we played this weekend. You know, a kid like Jordan, didn't have much of a fall. So to get those kids some at-bats before heading to Clearwater, I think was huge this weekend. And I know they were excited about finally playing someone different, you know, and not having to face the Cajun pitchers, you know, because the Cajun pitchers are, as we all saw this weekend, all pretty good. And, you know, they kind of, I don't want to say they dominated the January scrimmages, but I guess they had a little bit of an upper hand in the January scrimmages.
I think we think of that more in football and basketball, that, you know, you get tired of, because it's a more physical game, matchup wise, that we talk about getting beat up by each other, but it can do a lot for a pitcher's confidence or kill pitcher's confidence. And same thing with a hitter, seeing the same thing all the time, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt. And the pitchers, you know, they know their teammates really well, and they know, you know, where their weaknesses are. And, but sometimes Coach Robichaud and his pitch calling can kind of make up for that. And so, yeah, the pitchers, I think, coming out of January and the fall, their confidence level is way, way up there. And then this weekend helped the hitters to get some confidence, especially those young kids, you know. Because Glasgow played a lot of freshmen. He played a lot of sophomores who got some playing time last year. So going to Clearwater, you know, I think you're going to probably see a lot of the same thing, at least early in the season. And I'm not sure you're ever going to see like a set starting nine, you know, because Glasgow has that deep roster. And, you know, if you're facing a team who's got a good rise ball pitcher and you're a good rise ball hitter, you'll probably be in the lineup that day, and vice versa, you know. So, you know, he's got that deep roster, and he does a good job of using all those kids in certain situations.
I think both coaches, when I say both coaches, I mean Coach Deggs and Coach Glasgow, have a very similar mindset and are going to work in matches, you know, hitting matches, pitching matchups. We see it a lot in baseball where a pitcher will come out because a lefty or righty's coming up. Maybe not so much in softball, but we are seeing that more in softball, like you said, with the rise pitch or a drop ball, a batter that may not be as good as at it there, and somebody else that is good getting the start that day. Am I wrong thinking that way?
Yeah. No, I don't think you're wrong. And then with this deep pitching staff, you know, you can bring in a kid, you know, late in the game that gives the hitters a completely different look. Maybe, you know, not wanting the hitters on opposition to see a pitcher maybe for the third or fourth time through the lineup. And you can bring maybe a Sam Landry in behind a Kendra Lamb, you know, because Sam pitches more down than Kendra does, or vice versa. You know, you could bring Kendra in behind a kid that throws down. And, you know, Kendra's primarily a rise ball pitcher, although she has added a down pitch this year, and her changeup's improved. And Coach Robichaud is doing a good job with that pitching staff, making sure that, you know, they're not a one pitch pony, you know. And that's what's made these kids improve so much over the last, you know, since the end of last season, is that they've been able to add some new pitchers. And then you got Carly Heath, who's, you know, consistently around 70. She can get up to 72 miles an hour. And you bring that kid in behind, you know, a kid like Tala Hoob, who, you know, throws in the mid 60s. And it just gives the hitters a completely different look. And, you know, having to make adjustments late in the game is very difficult.
It was very fun. I didn't look at all of her pitches, and I don't know where she topped out at on Sunday, but it was very fun watching Sam throw 65 and then coming back at 48 on the next pitch. It was just like, you know, how are you going to hit that? You know?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Sam will get up to 67, 68. And, you know, by the time we get to April, she'll probably be able to hit 70. And then she's got that devastating changeup. It's an elite changeup. And You know, she's one of the kids that can throw north and south, east and west. She's got all the pitches. She's got a good screwball, a good curveball, a rise ball, and a drop. And then she can just paralyze you with that changeup, which we saw many, many times this weekend.
I think you throw that in with what Coach Robichaud brings to the staff, like his father. You know, I had some phone calls. They said, you know, I'd like to know what Coach Robichaud, Justin, is going to do for the pitching staff. I said, well, the first thing you're going to look at is, like Coach Robe did with the baseball team, was the pitching to numbers. You have 9 quadrants. So that same pitch may be the same pitch, but now it's in different locations for a different look. Are you seeing a lot of that?
Yeah, a kid like, you know, Tyler, she's got a really, really good rise ball, and she's able to throw it to different locations and at different speeds. You know, most pitchers, their rise ball is one of their higher velocity pitches. But for Tyler, it's a little bit different. Her rise ball is one of her off-speed pitches, not all the time, but sometimes. So a kid that can locate her rise ball at different locations and change speeds, that's going to give hitters fits. And, Sam Landry, you know, a kid that can throw to all different quadrants, and all of them, doing a much better job of doing that this year. And I think at the beginning of last year, when Coach Ro, he brought a lot of different things to the table, and now they're starting to understand his system and buy into his system a lot more than maybe they did early in the year last year. And that's, that's big. When you trust your pitching coach, you half the battles you won right there.
And yes, I mean, it's got to be trust. And sometimes, Coach Rubb used to talk about that as well. If you throw the pitch I told you to throw and they hit a home run, that's on me. But if you shake it off and you throw another pitch and they hit a home run, that's on you, and you're not going to live that down. So,
yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I agree with that.
But both girls are 5'10", and maybe they look taller because I'm not trying to, but a lot of the girls around them are shorter, I guess. You know, but they look tall.
Which
a little
girls?
Taller. I'm Sam Which and girls? Tyler.
Sovereign, yeah. They're pretty tall kids, and tall and slim and built like a lot of college pitchers are built. And, their stamina is good. They're very athletic in the circle. They feel their position really, really well. And you need that. Like, it takes a lot of pressure off the corner infielders when you got a pitcher that can come up and feel the bunt and that's very athletic, feels their position well. So, that's another thing that those two kids kind of bring to the table. And, a kid we hadn't talked about yet is Chloe Rios Soto, who's a true freshman left-hander. And she brings another look into the circle. I'm not sure if they've made a decision with Chloe yet, if she's going to, because of the depth of the pitching staff, she's a kid that, you could maybe redshirt this year, but I'm not sure that decision's been made. And I think we'll find out if we don't see Chloe this weekend in the Florida trip, then there's a good chance that, I'm thinking that they may be thinking about redshirting her. But, she's a kid that's got a really good curveball, throws in the mid-60s, and also has a good changeup. And she's a tough pitcher to left-handed hitters. She's been able to get the left-handers on the Cajun roster. She's been able to do a good job of getting them out in scrimmages. So another kid that's waiting in the wings and waiting for her turn. And like Coach Robe always said, work while you wait. And she's a hard worker, and looking for good things out of her in the future.
I was going to ask you that about the left-handed pitching. I'm glad you brought her up, because I haven't had a chance to see a whole lot, and I didn't know about her. But in softball, does it make as much of a difference as it does in baseball? Change for a left-hander coming in, as far as the different look for the batter?
I think it's something that the coaches are starting to look at more and more over the last couple of years. And You know, if you got a left-handed pitcher that can come in and get a tough left-hander out, you know, and then with the softball rules, you can take the starter out for one or two hitters and bring her back in.
Yeah.
And you know, if you got a left-handed hitter that's seen the starter two or three different times, maybe in a game, and you want to bring a left-handed specialist in to see if she can get her out, maybe in the fourth time through the lineup, I think that's a big luxury that coaches are starting to look at.
I always thought that about Allison DeVille, you know, when she was here, the left-handed pitcher from Port Perry, I believe.
Exactly.
I'm like, just give her one or two batters, you know. I don't know all the intricacies, and I'm not there every day at practice, so I'm not second-guessing the coaches at any point, but I just thought that was interesting, you know.
Yeah, and when Allison got a chance to pitch, you know, a lot of times she was effective, especially against left-handed hitters. And then there's another kid on the roster, a true freshman from Tennessee. Her name's Kylie Pitzer. She's about 6 foot tall. She's a right-handed pitcher. Another kid that's, you know, really good defensively up the middle. And she is, you know, possibly a redshirt candidate also. So a lot of depth in that pitching staff.
Yeah, I saw her name as another one. I didn't realize she was 6 foot tall. I guess that, and this is not, I guess, I know you can't answer this for Coach Glasgow, but with the way the rules are for transferring now, it's almost kind of hard to redshirt someone unless they're really bought into the program and with that attitude of work while you wait, because they could just say, hey, next year I'm gone. You didn't use me. But
yeah. And I think the way Coach Glasgow handles red shirts is, you know, I think he calls them in before the season starts and says, look, you know, this is what your role on the team is going to be. And you have an option. I'm giving you an option. You can red shirt or you can choose to not red shirt. And I think he pretty much leaves it up to the players.
Okay. I know a lot of coaches here do that as well. So, let's get back a little bit to the games and what we saw there. I think the biggest surprise of the weekend to me was Matty Hayden getting thrown out stealing a base. But to your and Cody's what you called right there, the ball bounced right in front, and the glove just when it caught it just landed right in front and tagged her. But that's the most surprising thing to me.
Well, if you remember the play, Craig, had the catcher made a good throw, Matty would have been safe.
Exactly.
The throw was on the right, on the first base side of the bag, and the fielder with the shortstop was able to come over and field the ball, and Matty just slid into the tag. If the catcher would have made the throw that coaches want catchers to make, Matty would have been safe.
Yeah, it was a one-hopper into the glove.
So. Yes, yes. And it was to the first base side of the bag. So
yeah,
Matty just slid right into it.
And I'm trying to think Friday, Saturday, I mean, four games over 3 days. I know there was another time that she slid in. I believe it was her or somebody and jarred the ball loose from the glove and it rolled to the shortstop side. So bad luck on.
And the Cajuns were nine of 11 in stolen bases this weekend. And I think you're going to continue to see the Cajuns steal some bases all season long. You know, it's kind of Coach Glasgow's philosophy. He likes to run. He likes to put pressure on the defense and try to cause chaos for the defense. And with the speed at the top of the lineup, you know, he the top three and the bottom three in the lineup are usually kids that can really run really well. And, you know, Carly Heath, you wouldn't think Carly Heath, you know, would be fast, but she's really fast. She's one of the faster kids on the team. She's going to steal a lot of bases. And, you know, you got Maya Davis, unfortunately, who's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks from what I understand with that hand injury. She was hit in the first game on the hand, and she'll be out for 3 to 4 weeks, unfortunately, because she's a dynamic true freshman, you know, with tremendous speed. She's got Kelly Milligan type speed, and then Langlier's in the three hole. She runs fairly well also. And then at the bottom of the lineup, it kind of depends who's in there. And, you know, Carly Heath, Kramer Ushday, Kayla Falterman, you know, kids like that, Sam Grader, when she's in the lineup, she runs well. So, you know, and I'm probably leaving some kids out, but we got a lot of kids that can run. And I think Coach Glasgow is going to, you know, continue to try to push the envelope, especially when we have the lead, you know.
This is going to hopefully this will be my, I'm going to say this is going to be my last comparison with baseball, but I just find these coaches are mirror images of each other, wanting to steal bases, wanting to force the issue, forcing the other team to make mistakes. And if they get caught stealing, hey, fine. But, you know, we're going to make you play a perfect game, you know?
Yeah. And as long as they're, you know, successful more times than not, you know, you're not going to steal every base you attempt to steal, but as long as you're average, you know, you're 90% or 85 to 90%, I think the coaches are happy with that. If, you know, and you don't want to get kids thrown out, especially when you're behind in a game. And yeah, I don't get to see a whole lot of baseball games, but you're absolutely correct. Their philosophies are very similar.
And I like the fact, like a Carly Heath probably Carly is a better pitcher than Carson, but Carson will come in to pitch in a situation. And Coach Deggs likes that because he's able to move him around for a batter or two, and then without having to bring in a relief pitcher, you know, for that, which is a little different in softball because the pitcher can come back in.
Not sure what Carly's role in the pitching circle is going to be, whether she'll be a late inning, you know, come in maybe like a closer, or really not sure how they're going to use it. But, you know, Carly can also play right field and first base, and she DP'd, I think, all three games this weekend. So she's a key member of this team, and a good leader and a great teammate. So Carly's going to, I think, have a really, really good season for us this year.
It's fun, though, to be able to have this many pitching options, don't you think? Because there have been times that we've had one, maybe one and a half, one and three quarters, but not quite two pitchers or three pitchers.
Yeah, I can remember. You know, the game has changed so much in the last 20 years. You know, Brooke Mitchell, she took – we used to play a four-game conference series, two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, and she would start all four games.
Yeah.
And if the coach went out there to relieve her, she was not very happy. And so she wanted the ball every game, and she wanted to pitch every inning. And, you know, the game has changed so much with the bats and the balls, and it's just not, you know, it's not conducive to play the game like that anymore. And you don't see pitchers throwing 300 innings in a season anymore. And so, yeah, the game has changed over the last 20 years or so, and it's for Coach Glasgow and Coach Robichaud to put together this pitching staff is amazing, you know. And you know, if a kid's not going to have their good stuff every game, and so you got that deep pitching staff, you can always come and get them, you know, and come with someone else. So that's going to be a big benefit this year to have the deep pitching staff.
I'm going to say something, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is going to help Coach Glasgow. But is this the first time back-to-back seasons he's had the same coaching staff?
Yeah, I think you're correct. Yeah, the entire. Well, I think when Coach Mike Roberts was here, he was here for. I think Coach Glasgow and Coach Lacy and Coach Roberts were together for a couple of years.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But yeah, this is, I mean, that's awesome when you can have the same coaching staff come back, and you know, you add in Coach Kevin Myers, the volunteer assistant, to that mix. And he, you know, I think this is Kevin's third year, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, you know, it's huge to have the consistency in the coaching staff. And that way you know, the kids, the older kids who've been here for 3 or 4 years can get comfortable with one coaching staff. And another, you know, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's another plus to this year's squad.
I think all of them, I brought it up because you mentioned them being more comfortable with the way, you know, probably, which is Coach Robichaux is probably a different pitching coach than what they've been used to in the past.
He's got a different philosophy and a different system, you know, and so it's something that they've had to adjust to and get used to and become comfortable with. And I think, you know, that they're at that point. And that's going to be a big, you know, a big difference from last year to this year. And I'm not saying he didn't do a good job last year, because he did a tremendous job last year. But this year he's got a little bit more depth, and he's got some pitchers that are in their second year in his system. And that can only be a positive.
Let's get away from this weekend and what we've been kind of talking about. And let's we probably should have started with this, but we've kind of started our podcast here after the season started. So, but give me one or two names for Cajun fans that may not be familiar with, that you think that are going to, throughout the season, will continue to improve and get playing time maybe.
Well, I think, you know, Vic Vogdels is, I think she's going to become a fan favorite early on, you know, and then you got a kid like Cecilia Vasquez, who you saw at second base this weekend, who's going to probably get some innings at shortstop at some point. And Cecilia came in, we call her Sissy. Everybody, that's her name. Her teammates call her Sissy. And we knew coming in that she was going to be a good defender. You know, she can flash that leather, and she's got really good range. She goes to her right really well. When she plays short, she goes into that 5-6 hole really, really well. And I think the fans are really going to like her. And the one concern about Sissy was how soon she would be able to hit and adjust to college pitching. And it kind of like the two last weeks of January of practice before the start of the season, kind of the light bulb kind of came on for Sissy at the plate. And, you know, it carried over into the weekend. She had a good weekend. In fact, she hit a grand slam yesterday, if I remember correctly. So
yes.
Her first collegiate home run. And then, you know, you got kids like Lauren Allred, who you know, she had a home run this weekend. Another true freshman. And Kylie Griffin, man, what a great athlete, you know. And Coach Glasgow's trying to figure out where he's going to fit her in. You know, she can play first. She can play second. She's more of an infielder than an outfielder, but a tremendous athlete. You know, she reminds me, excuse me, I don't know if you remember Brianna Cherry.
Yes.
When Brianna Cherry played center field for us, but Kylie Griffin reminds me of that when it comes to her athleticism. And so some of those kids, and, you know, Sam Grader, who played a little bit last year, and who's probably going to get a lot more playing time this year, you know, a power hitter. And then, you know, you got kids like Kayla Falterman and Krummer Ashte who are going to contribute. And Maddie Hayden, of course, everybody knows Maddie Hayden. She started every game last year. And hopefully, you know, I'm probably leaving somebody out. But anyway, I think there's a lot of kids on this team that the fan base is going to fall in love with. Because those kids work hard, extremely hard every day. And, you know, Laney Crater, another kid who can play first base and DP, and it's got some really good power. And so, you know, that's a bunch of those kids that are going to be, you know, play big roles on this team. In addition to the kids that, you know, you expect, you know, the Sophie Piscos, the Alexa Langoliers, and kids like that, who you expect to be in the lineup. And so you add all that together, and, you know, that creates a lot of depth for you. And, man, I'm excited about this season.
It's when you travel with the team, or you travel and you stay in the hotel with the team and things like that, and you see them interact off the field, it's and the same thing when, and I know people, it's easy when somebody hits a home run to be excited for them, but when you see them off the field and the way they interact together, you know that this they've got good team chemistry, and that's very important with this many.
Yeah, team chemistry is important, and you know you got 22 girls and all different personalities, and you know some of them are older and more mature than some of the younger ones. So you know you kind of see the freshmen kind of hanging out together, and you see the pitchers kind of hanging out together, and but for the most part, I think the team chemistry is good, and you know those kids get along, and you know you get to be with them on the bus sometimes for 4 or 5 hours at a time, and what they do on the bus, for the most part, is sleep. But when they do, when they are awake, you know, you hear a lot of giggling from the back of the bus. And so yeah, I think it's all good, you know. But like I mentioned, you know, you got 22 girls, 22 different personalities, and you know, sometimes you got to work some things out.
So you brought it up, so I'm gonna go with it here. Riding on the bus. Now, do they all have their headphones in, or are they making you listen to some music that I know you don't want to listen to?
No, you know, I sit all the way in the front, and the girls sit in the back. So I really couldn't tell you if they have headsets on or not. But the only thing I can tell you is that they sleep a lot.
Okay.
And then, you know, and they got, you know, they all have their laptops and they've got homework to do and stuff like that. And you know, that's what I see on the bus. And the bus is usually usually a pretty quiet bus ride.
Okay. Let's move on to next weekend, because that is really, I mean, you've got, you know, the tournament with Indiana, Michigan, Oklahoma State, Arkansas, UCLA, Florida State. And if that wasn't enough, they're going to play UCF after the tournament's over. And I know a lot of that has to do with it's Mardi Gras week. Is that Mardi Gras? Yeah. It's Mardi Gras weekend, so they're out of school Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I know Coach Klasko likes to take advantage of that, so great for him.
No doubt about it. UCF, Central Florida, is actually in the tournament
in
Clearwater, but we're not going to play them in the tournament. We're going to go over to Orlando on Tuesday, Mardi Gras Day, and play a single game against, they rank 15th in the country, if I'm not mistaken. And they had a 3-1 weekend this past weekend in their opening weekend. And I think we play 7 games in 6 days or something like that. Those 7 teams combined for a 24-4 record this past weekend. So, you know, good teams. Indiana was 3-1. Michigan was 4-1. Oklahoma State was 3-1. UCLA and Florida State, UCLA was 6-0, actually. Florida State was 5-1, or 4-1, and Central Florida was 3-1. So all of those guys had good opening weekends. And for most of them, you know, the competition is going to be a step up this week, just like it is for the Cajuns. So looking forward to the not only the Cajun games, but, you know, when you get an opportunity to maybe hang around the ballpark and see some really good softball this coming, you know, for 4 days. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Have you had a chance to look at the weather? I know last time we talked, you said Thursday looked okay, iffy on Friday, possibly.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to have a system that's going to come through on Friday. Not sure what time they're showing 80% on Friday, but I'm not exactly sure what time of the day that is. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Tuesday all look pretty good with, you know, temperatures. Thursday is going to be the warmest day. And then the rest of the time, the highs are going to be in the mid-70s and lows around 60. So, man, I'm really looking forward to that. And, excited that I'm not going to be in town for Mardi Gras and not going to have to deal with barricades in one lane, Johnston Street, and Bertrand. So, I would be willing to go out of town every year for Mardi Gras.
I'm 100% with you there as well. I'm not a big Mardi Gras person, but
Well, when you play at home on Mardi Gras, it's just so difficult to get to the ballpark, and
yes,
and then and so difficult to leave, you know. So like I said, good for me. We're out of town for Mardi Gras.
Right now, it's showing 77 on Friday. A couple of afternoon showers, so looks like it looks like it's going to
play around that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
that'd be awesome.
Out of all the teams that are there this weekend, you know, you got a couple of Big Ten teams, couple of you got an SEC team, a Pac-12, an ACC, a Big 12. I know those are all strong conferences. Michigan, though, is it this year they have a new head coach, or did she start last year?
Yeah. No, this will be her first year as the head coach, but she's been there for forever. You know, she was an assistant with the previous coach for, I think I have it somewhere, for a lot of years anyway. And it's going to be interesting to see if she's going to have, you know, or if she's going to try to implement her, you know, a different system, or if she's just going to go along and I think it was it Hutch they used to call the coach at Michigan, maybe. But the new coach there is Bonnie Thole, and she's replacing Carol Hutchins, and she was Coach Hutchins' top assistant for 29 years. So you're probably going to expect to see, you know, the same type of Michigan teams that we've been seeing in the past. So, and you know, the other opponents, I was looking, D1 softball top 25 came out today, and we're going to play three teams in the top five in the D1 softball pool. I think it was UCLA, UCLA, Oklahoma State,
and
Florida State, if I'm not mistaken, all in the top five.
I thought
I might be wrong on Florida State.
But, I thought it was Arkansas.
Oh, it's probably, I think it's Arkansas.
Arkansas,
I think it is Arkansas. Yeah, UCLA, Oklahoma State, and Arkansas, all in the top five in the D1 softball pool that came out today. So the NFCA pools come out tomorrow, and the ESPN pools, I think, usually come out on Tuesday. So, but yeah, it's going to be a great challenge, and it's February. So, you know, if the Cajuns go and win four or five ball games over the weekend, don't get too excited. And then if they lose four or five, you know, don't get too disappointed, because it's February, and, you know, we all know it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And whatever happens this weekend is going to help this team get better. It's going to give Coach Glasgow a much better understanding of who can do what in certain situations. And I'm sure that's why he scheduled these games. Going to be all good RPI games. At the luncheon today, he mentioned that, and I think he said that 50% of your RPI is your opponent's schedule, or something like that is, I think, what he said. So regardless of win or lose, there's going to be good RPIs for the Cajun RPI games. And then, you know, you come home and you're going to face LSU twice next weekend. And the weekend after that, you're going to face Texas twice. And the weekend after that, you're going to face Florida twice. And then on spring break, you're going to go and play Baylor and Texas A&M. So Coach Glasgow loaded this schedule up, and for a reason. And it's just to make the team better and to give them a chance to host a regional. And in my opinion, I think the magic number, Craig, is 43. If we win in that area, 42, 43, 44 games, I think the Cajuns are going to be in pretty good shape to host a regional.
Okay, that's I know he talked about that. He said that, you know, even if they don't host, this is going to get this team ready to play on the road as well. So I know you're not the coach, but for you, I know you mentioned don't freak out.
And I don't want to be the coach.
I don't think any of us do. The pressure they're under, I can't imagine, especially for a program that's been winning as long as they have been. It's got to be tremendous pressure. He probably puts more pressure on himself than any than Dr. Maggard does or anybody else on the administrative side. So
I can tell you that that's a fact. And, you know, unfortunately for Coach Glasgow, he didn't make the rules. You know, you got 8 position players, you got a pitcher and a designated player. That's 10 kids. And you got 16 that want to play. And he's under a lot of pressure. But the most pressure he's under is the pressure that he puts on himself. And, you know, he wants this program to get back to the College World Series, and everybody else does too. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
What do you, I've learned, I've kind of mellowed as I've aged, because especially with baseball and softball, there's so many games. If you live and die with every game, it's not going to be a fun ride, you know. And even this weekend, you can't live or die with one weekend. But what would be, and I know I'm using this generally, because I know if we lost 5 of the games, but they were 5 one-run games, we played well, but, you know, just weren't there. I don't, Coach Glasgow would be upset, because he feels like if they're 1-run games, he had the opportunity to win them. But what do you think the weekend is? What's your thoughts? I mean, and I'm not going to tie you down to a record or anything, but what are you thinking of this weekend?
Compete in every game, Craig, you know, and be competitive in every game, and not worry about the score. Just go out and compete and get better. You know, a 1-run loss to UCLA is probably going to do you more good in the long run than a 12-1 win over Lafayette College. So, you know, if you go in with that mindset, and, you know, I think you're going to come out with a positive weekend, regardless of who the record is, you know?
Okay. Well, I like to ask my guests this. Any last words of wisdom you'd like to give me before we sign off?
Words of wisdom. Yeah. Watch on ESPN Plus and listen on the radio. That's my words of wisdom.
I was going to bring that up. If you haven't listened, Bobby is with Coney Juno this year. No knock on Steve at all, but I really, I enjoyed Steve and Bobby, but I am enjoying Cody as well. Usually it takes me a little longer to get acclimated to new broadcasters, but I think hearing Cody on the radio and on some of the other broadcasts has made this feel like this change was pretty seamless. What's your thoughts?
It went really, really smooth this weekend. You know, you're working with a person, not really sure how it's going to go, and usually takes more than 3 or 4 games to get used to a new broadcast partner. But Cody is so prepared and so professional. He was really easy to work with, and hopefully he feels the same way about me, and looking forward to the season with Cody. Now, this weekend in Clearwater and in Orlando, it's going to be your good friend, Jay Walker, and I doing the broadcast.
Well,
and then Cody and I will be on for the rest of the season.
Well, you're going to go to heaven because you're going to be working in hell this weekend with him. No.
I've worked with Jay before on some softball games, and it went good. It went good.
I was going to tell you, but now I forgot Jay was doing the games. I was going to tell you that you could tell Cody I wouldn't be texting him to tell him to turn off the delay, because I won't be listening to it on the radio live. Like, I mean, I'll be listening to y'all, but I won't have it on.
You won't be at the game. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if he gets that straight for me, I'll be fine with Cody. Otherwise I'm going to continue to text y'all.
And that's in the games that you attend.
Yes.
That you're talking about.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we'll make sure if you're at the ballpark, and I'll try to remind Cody to let the producer know that we got to get that right.
Steve had the same problem. I said, I hate to keep bothering you, but man, you're killing me over here, you know, because when the game started, the delay was 8 seconds. 8 seconds. I mean,
yeah, that makes it difficult.
The girl is already on second base when she hit the home run. And, you know, I'm going like, come on. And I'm hearing the crack of the bat again. So, but.
Yeah, that's an easy fix from what I understand.
Well, Bobby, while I've got you on too, and I meant to do this at the beginning, but why don't you tell everybody a little bit about the Center Field Club? And both of you and I help out with that. But since I'm the host, I'm going to let you talk about it.
Well, we got this thing started last year and it went really, really well. And, you know, it's an opportunity it's kind of like the softball booster club. And there's several different levels of membership. And if you're interested in joining, you can email Ashley Pauley at ashley.pauley, P-A-U-L-E-Y, at louisiana.edu. And she'll be happy to send you all the information she needs. We meet a couple of times a month for a luncheon on Mondays. We met last Monday and this Monday at walk-ons. I think the March luncheons are both at Pete's.
Correct.
And then we come back to walk-ons for two luncheons in April, and then the final luncheon toward the end of the season will be at Emma's Cafe. So you can get, if once you join the Center Field Club, you know, we send out a weekly newsletter and we always remind the members about the luncheons and kind of try to cover the upcoming week in Cajun softball and go over the opponents a little bit. So that's kind of what we do with the Center Field Club. And it's a way to help support the program financially, you know, at several different levels, like I said.
Yep. And for you and I, we're both volunteers, so we're not collecting any salary there. So you don't have to worry about any of your money going to support me or you.
That's for sure. It's been a while since I got a check.
Me too. Trust me. So, well, Bobby, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. We will talk again next week. We'll figure out a time. By the time this posts, it'll probably be Tuesday. Give everybody, since there's a game on Thursday, and you got plenty of time to join the Center Field Club. Next newsletter should be going out Wednesday morning. So lots to look forward to. So safe travels, my friend.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to bring my equipment with me on the road, and we can do another one next week, early in the week. I'll have everything I need over at the hotel. And before we come home, if you want to do another one, I'm unsure if you want to do this on a weekly basis, but anytime you want, man, just let me know.
My hope is to do it weekly and keep everybody involved and engaged. And whether you're getting the newsletter or the podcast here, hopefully you're feeling informed and want to give to the RCAF or directly to the softball program. So.
Thanks for having me, Craig. I really appreciate you, and I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. You've been listening to We're Talking. We've been talking Raging Cajun softball.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.